Friends, for the last 3 weeks, you know, I love this part, this time of the summer, not because school starts. Well, that's part of it. I am looking forward to school starting. But at the end of the summer, we read from the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. And if you've ever read the Gospel of John, I'd really encourage you to do so, especially the sixth chapter, John 6. This is my favorite part of all of sacred scripture. John 6, for the last 3 weeks, the last three Sundays, we have we've read from different sections of the sixth chapter of John. And the reason that we love it so much is because this is called Jesus' Eucharistic Discourse. At this point in the gospel, this is where Jesus hands on to us the basic teachings of the Eucharist, which we call the source and the summit of our faith. I want to begin by just telling you a brief story about Bishop Sheen. I know that many of you know who Bishop Sheen is. For those of you who are younger who might not know who Bishop Sheen is, Bishop Sheen was a bishop. Duh. He was a bishop in the 1950s, and he had this TV show on primetime. Okay, so like back in the 1950s and 60s, people would tune in Sunday nights to watch Bishop Sheen give a little class. And even, I mean, non-Catholics used to watch Bishop Sheen. My grandparents, who are not Catholic, used to tune in to Bishop Sheen every Sunday, right? Because he taught, there was something about him, he taught the truth. But anyway, Bishop Sheen now he's a servant of God, and so his cause for canonization's open, and he was a very, very holy man. Bishop Sheen was known to make a holy hour, to make an hour of adoration every single day of his priesthood. And so one time someone interviewed him and they said, "Bishop Sheen, who inspired you to make a holy hour, to go to adoration for an hour every day?" He said, "That's a very good question." He said, "The inspiration to make a holy hour didn't come from a priest or a sister or even a saint." He said that it came from a story that he heard of a young Chinese girl. About 60 years ago in China, when the communist revolutionaries were you know, when Christians were being persecuted, they're still being persecuted today in China, but it's a different story. About 60 years ago, these Chinese revolutionaries broke into a Catholic church. They arrested the priest, basically put him in house arrest, and they broke into the church and they ransacked the church, okay? They went in, they stole the money, they knocked down the statues, they destroyed the church. They went up into the sanctuary, and they opened up the tabernacle, and they took the ciborium, the gold vessel which holds the hosts, and they threw it on the floor, the Eucharist spilling out all over the floor of the sanctuary, and they left. Little did they know that there was a young Chinese girl about the age of 10, sitting in the back of the church that saw the entire thing. And this is a true story. This is literal, okay? True, true story. She saw the whole thing happened. She left the church, came back later that night, and she came into the church and knelt down and prayed. She prayed for an hour. She made a holy hour of adoration, 1 hour of love to make up for that act of hatred. After she prayed for an hour, she went up into the sanctuary. She got down on her hands and knees, and she received the Eucharist with her tongue. Because as you know, at that time, it was not permissible for lay people to touch the host with their hands. That's really something that only really happened in the last 40 years or so. But the lay people were not able to touch the host with their hands, and you could only receive communion once a day. And so she goes up into the sanctuary, and she gets down on her hands and knees. She receives the Eucharist with her tongue from the floor. The next day, she comes back. She comes in, makes a holy hour of adoration, an act of love to make up for that act of hatred. She comes into the sanctuary and receives Holy Communion the very same way. There were 32 hosts. She comes in every day, a little over a month, makes a holy hour every day, and receives Holy Communion in the exact same way. The very last day, this is a true story, the very last day she's leaving the church, when she leaves the church, she wakes the guard that is outside the church. He wakes up and he kills her with the butt of his rifle. Okay, this little Chinese girl, 10 years old, was a martyr for the faith, a martyr for her faith in the Eucharist. And this story inspired Bishop Sheen to make a holy hour, to adore the Eucharist every day for 1 hour. Friends, and the reason I tell you this story is because for this little girl, this little Chinese girl of 10, the Eucharist defined her. The Eucharist defined her. It was who she was. It made up her very being. And the Eucharist, friends, should define every single one of us who are sitting in this church today. Because this is our Catholic faith. The Eucharist is the source and the summit of our life, as the Catechism says, the source and the summit of our life, and it should define us. This is what we live for. This is when we are truly human, truly Christian, truly Catholic, when we are here at Mass and we receive Jesus Christ himself, ladies and gentlemen. One of my favorite saints is Saint Padre Pio, right? Padre Pio was he was a Franciscan saint. He died in 1968. He was Italian. Padre Pio, one of my favorite quotes of him, he said that it would be easier for the world to exist without the Son than to exist without the Holy Mass. Think about that for a moment. It would be easier for the world to exist without the Son than to exist without the Holy Mass. That is how much we need. That is how much we need the Eucharist, how much we rely on the Eucharist for our very life, for our sustenance, just as Jesus says, if you eat the bread and drink my blood, only then do you have life within me. Partaking of the Eucharist is more important for us, for our life, than the air we breathe, the food we eat, the drink that we partake in. We need the Eucharist to live, to truly live. Mother Teresa said, she said that the best time that you spend on earth is in front of the Holy Eucharist. She said that when you look at the cross, when you look at the crucifix, you recognize how much Jesus loved you then. But when you look at the sacred host, you recognize how much Jesus loves you now. Think about that. When you look at the cross, you recognize how much Jesus loves you then. When you look at the host, you realize how much Jesus loves you now. Friends, let us ask ourselves, are we defined by the Eucharist? Is he who I live for? I know it is he. This is what I live for, friends. This is why I became a priest. I've been a priest for only 3 years. Love it. Totally love it, all right? But to celebrate Holy Mass every single day. You know, some people say, you know, Father, you must be lonely because, you know, you can't get married or have a human family, okay? I hold God in my hands every single day of my life. When I say this is my body and this is my blood, I believe with my whole heart, mind, soul, and being that this is Jesus Christ. This is our Catholic faith. This is our greatest treasure. This is what it means to be Catholic, what sets us apart, makes us different. How does the Eucharist define me? How does it define me? Friends, I'd encourage you to allow the Eucharist to define you, to go to adoration, to try and to go to adoration once a week, to pray before our Lord, to go to Mass as you are on Sunday, of course, but maybe, just maybe, to go maybe once during the week. Those two things can greatly increase our faith, can do wonders to our spiritual life, adoration and Mass during the week. Friends, allow the Eucharist to define us. This is what love is. Jesus knew 2,000 years ago, he knew that he was going to not be with us physically. He knew that he was going to die on the cross, that he was going to ascend to heaven, and that he would not walk the face of the earth. And for this reason, this is why he gave us the Eucharist, to be with us. And he has been waiting. Think about this. He's been waiting for us for 2,000 years. He waits for us in the tabernacle. He waits for us at Mass. He knew 2,000 years ago before we were even conceived in the womb of our mother, he knew that each and every one of us would exist. He knows exactly how many hairs are on our head. He knows our situation. And he knew that today on August the 12th, 2012, that we would be here at Mass receiving Holy Communion, worshiping him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in this Holy Mass. He's been waiting for us. And he's been waiting for you. He waits for us in adoration. He waits for us in the tabernacle. He waits for us at Mass. Friends, spend time with Jesus in the Eucharist. allow the Eucharist to define you, to be what you live for, to be that which gives you life. Because this is what Jesus says, that this is his flesh, which he gives for our life and for the life of the world. God bless you. Amen.